Yeah. Well, listen, hey, listen, I want to talk to you real quick about the recent 2012 Australian Open men's final, Rafa and Novak. And, you know, for me, I think it was really one of the, great all-time matches, obviously because of the endurance. But, you know, more than that, for me, it was the quality of play for nearly 6 hours. And, Jeff, I guess I want to ask you, having played in the tour yourself, and I know that to be able to do what you've done, or to be able to do what you did in terms of achieving, a top 100 ranking, training has got to be such a huge component. You know, give us a little look into, what Rafa and Novak have to go through with their training regimens. And then I want to kind of turn the discussion after that into what the rest of us as rec players can do, obviously probably not to that extent that they do, but what can we realistically do, training-wise, to be able to improve our tennis?
Yeah, I'd be happy to share my insight, what I think I know. I know that I'm not on the inside, looking out in both of their camps, but I certainly have been around long enough to have some ideas about what's going on and some thoughts. And the first thing that comes to mind is these guys are playing, year in and year out, 20, 25 weeks a year. They've played how many Grand Slams now over the course of 7 or 8 years, because they're both about 24, 25 years old, respectively. They've been playing Grand Slams since they were 18 or 19. So I think they've got a lot of volume just in their tank to begin with, right? They've played 3 out of 5 sets 4 times a year. They know what to expect. They know how it works. They know how the schedule is played out. They play Davis Cup. So you kind of, I think you build that volume over time. I don't think you just show up at 23 years old and all of a sudden you can play for 6 hours.
Well, you just brought out a good point, Jeff. You just said they've played enough where they sort of have a reference point of just how long this thing could go, and how much, pain and suffering they might have to go through.
Yeah, and so there, I don't think there's a substitute for the just sheer time and years that they have played tennis, that they've been on a tennis court, and the length of time they've done it, and they've done that more often than everybody else, right? So I guess it would be like a marathon runner that's been running their whole life. They ran marathons when they were 8 years old or 10 years old. They have a lot in their tank to start with. So the next thing that comes to mind for me is the recovery aspect. And this is something I think we can really relate to, the rec player or the junior player out there, is the recovery, what they're doing in between matches. And they have a whole team with them. They have doctors, they have therapists. Obviously, they have the benefits of having a team that rec players don't have. But they're really dialed in with their recovery. There's been talk about Novak using a version of a hyperbaric chamber, so obviously getting more oxygen to the system. I know the guys get a lot of body work. There's a lot of stretching involved. And of course, Novak, it's become very popular with his gluten-free diet. So I think before we even start talking about running a lot or doing plyometrics or things to build that strength or that endurance, you have to look at how you're going to prevent injuries, how you're going to recover better, and just the sheer volume of playing a lot of tennis.
So you're really saying then take it more from the, sort of craft your training program more initially about how you're going to recover.
Yeah, I think that has to be number one, because if you're, let's say you're building on an inefficient system, if you're trying to lift weights but you have, a bum knee or an ankle, or your alignment is not correct, you're going to be susceptible to injuries because you're piling more training onto an inefficient system. So I think it's getting the recovery dialed in, getting your diet, getting your stretching, getting your all those things that go into recovery, your breathing. Start there and improve on those aspects. And then once you become more efficient, then tennis becomes easier. And I think that a guy like Novak has done that the last couple of years. If you remember, even at the U.S. Open a couple of years ago, he's having breathing problems. Maybe they're talking about some possible heart issues. And then once he got the diet dialed in, he got all of the foods that he was intolerant to out of his system. I actually talked to a friend of mine, who Dušan Vemić, who actually plays on the tour. He was in Novak's box throughout the entire fortnight in Australia. He was the guy on the far left side in the front row, just chilling out with his sunglasses. He told me that he's pretty much gotten his life dialed in off the court. You know, he has his team. Everything is very simple. He's got his diet worked out. Everybody's working on him. And then he's obviously building on that from there.
Well, that's I think that's really interesting. I'm just kind of, you know, my brain's just kind of now firing here thinking about, you know, even for myself. I mean, I've never thought really about starting my training program and trying to figure out the recovery aspect. I mean, I've always sort of thought of that as an afterthought, that it's, you know, for me, the off-court stuff has been, all right, well, what am I going to do to, you know, do some sprints, maybe do a little, not, you know, not much long distance, but, you know, more do some hills, do some sprints, do some, you know, you try to do the weights, you try to get some cardio with maybe some stationary, and then you get some stretching in there and that kind of stuff. And, but then the recovery stuff is sort of an afterthought. And I'm really intrigued though with what you say. I think for the rest of us is that really figure out the recovery part of your program first, lay that down as your foundation, and then you can add the cardio and the strength training on top of that.
Yeah, I think it's reverse engineering. We, like you said, for so long, I think there's been more of that Rocky mentality that, okay, you're done playing tennis, and then, like you said, you run up that mountain and you push your arms in the air and you say, yeah, I did that great workout. And by all means, that can help your endurance and help your strength and help you play well in three set matches. But more often than not, we get that hip flexor, we get that quad, we get that hamstring. Something happens that slows our training down. And again, you'll notice these guys are not getting hurt, and they're playing insane amount of time. So they must be doing something. It's not luck that they're not getting injured. Same with
I was just shocked that there really wasn't any severe cramping going on in that match. Certainly, Novak looked like he was in some serious distress there. But, you know, I mean, it wasn't anything where we've seen guys, you know, especially in the French, who just, you know, I mean, they're just locked up, and these guys really didn't get to that point. And I kept looking for it. I kept waiting for it to happen, and it just never occurred.
Yeah, these guys have really raised the bar. We're at a golden age in tennis. I hope everybody's truly appreciating what these guys are doing for our sport. When you look around the world at different sports, there was actually a great article in the Wall Street Journal this week. I'll have to send you a link to it, Brent, but the guy was alluding to the fact that tennis is at an all-time high with the level of play, the commitment level, what these guys are showing, you know, the big three, and then you can even throw Murray into the mix. They are doing things that have never been done in our sport, and he was arguing that, you know, try watching the Super Bowl on Sunday, try watching the NBA Finals, and get the sheer, you know, excitement, the joy, the passion, the level of play that we are seeing between these gentlemen that are playing tennis right now. It is truly amazing what is happening in our sport, and I think we should really step back and take a second, say, wait a minute, you know, in 5 years, we might have guys come along to replace them, but they might not be at the level that these three or four players are at right now.
Well, I want to ask you, or before I ask you about, you know, what we can do, realistically do, and I really want to focus on this recovery foundation you're talking about. Yeah, I mean, you watch that match between Rafa and Novak, and you wonder. I mean, to me, I you know, the endurance factor was incredible, but it certainly wasn't like an Isner Mahut thing where, you know, you're just waiting for someone to string a couple of good returns to serve together. To me, this match not only showed, just like you said, the passion and the high level, but I mean, the tennis, the quality of the tennis for nearly 6 hours was off the charts. I mean, you don't see that stuff in a, you know, a San Jose indoor 2 out of 3 sets. You don't see that for 90 minutes or 2 hours there. And we saw it for nearly 6 hours. And so my thought was, you know, what's the next level? I mean, what can the human body, you know, realistically do with the game of tennis in terms of the quality level, given the dimensions, given the racket technology, the string technology? You know, Jeff, what do you think is the next level after what you saw on Sunday?
That's a million-dollar question, isn't it? 3-4 years ago, everybody would be saying, well, Federer, right? He set the bar. And then there's this Spanish guy that comes along and seems to have the upper hand on him, and he plays a different style, you know, than Federer. So it's easy to kind of contrast the two and to see what's possible. And then Novak comes along and he's trumped both of them. And again, I think the where he has done that is he has focused on his diet. He has focused on his nutrition. He's really gotten his private life, like, very, very stable, which the others have as well. There's no question they're doing amazing things. But Novak is playing at – he's the alpha dog. He's playing at a higher level than what we thought was possible with Federer and Nadal 3 or 4 years ago. So certainly I think there is some space left to go to a higher level, where I think that it might happen, but I'm not sure – exactly how this is going to happen. But the one thing, if I had to criticize that match in one way, which is, it's, you know, probably not fair to both those guys, but again, we're not really seeing a lot of transition. You know, we're seeing a lot of stuff at the baseline for obvious reasons. You know, courts are slower, guys can pass well, guys move unbelievably well, but I still maintain, and I've talked to a couple of coaches about this since the match, that if Pat Rafter or Stefan Edberg were playing that match the other day, sure, they wouldn't have been able to hang from the baseline. They probably lose to those guys in a 5-set match. But if those guys were moving forward, they would have been able to cut off some of the passing shots that Nadal hit against Federer. I mean, Federer, with all his gifts, still, to me, is not a fundamentally sound volleyer when you look at guys like Edberg and Rafter. And I hope that someday there is a player that can do everything that Nadal and Djokovic can do from the back of the court, that is as serious as they are about nutrition and training and the off-court concept, but someone who can move forward and volleys like a Rafter. And I don't know if that's ever going to be possible because of the way the game has moved, but I think that's the one key element that is missing from the game.
Well, I mean, I really hope that that comes to being. I mean, as a, you know, old-school, all-court guy, I mean, I would love to see that. And, you know, obviously that's got to start happening when they're younger. You just can't pick that up, you know, early 20s.
Yeah, I don't know how it will because, you know, junior tennis, it's most of the kids are playing from the backcourt.
Right.
These are not comfortable teaching serve and volley or moving forward. And I'm not saying serve and volley, but, you know, coming in another 20 times a match than what these guys
Sure. Sure. Okay. Well, Jeff, give us some tips. Give us some hints here on what the rest of us, the 99.9% of the players in the world who will never make a dime on the Pro Tour. Jeff, tell us what we can do with your thinking here on the recovery, sort of laying a foundation down for that. You know, with our tennis schedule. Let's say we've got a guy who's, you know, let's take a typical 4-0 guy who's playing a couple times a week. And, you know, what can we do? You know, obviously diet-wise, we can make tangible, significant changes there. But are you saying that we should spend more time with recovery as opposed to training?
I think that starting out, yes. I can give you two tangible examples from recently with my coaching here in Denver. I've got one player who is a 38-year-old weekend warrior, carrying a little bit of extra weight, but, you know, fit guy. He's a 4-0. He strives to be a 4.5. And I have given him interval training workouts that last about 10 to 15 minutes that, you know, involve jump rope or burpees, which is an exercise where you get down and get into a plank position or do
right.
push-ups and you get back up and you jump, and squats, push-ups, things like that, where he does 2 to 3 times a week. So that's more on the strength, you know, endurance side, right? And then I've also given him specific stretches to do, and we've really looked at his diet. He actually had some concerns, some health stuff come up recently, and we just tweaked his diet in that. We talked about this on another call a few months ago, Brent, is, you know, we've gotten the grain and the bread virtually out of the diet, focusing much more on the lean meats and the greens and the fruits and the nuts and the seeds and all that good stuff. So we've really looked at that. I had another player, he came to me and he says, man, I'm just feeling so tight. And I showed him, what was it, about 5 stretches and about 8 dynamic workout warm-up exercises, real short routine, takes 10 minutes. I said, listen, this has to become a part of your tennis practice. Show up 15 minutes early and do this workout every time you play tennis. It's no different than showing up and jogging around the court a few times.
Right.
And ever since he did that, he says, I just feel totally different. My body feels like it's opening up. So I really think, you know, we're all busy. We're achievers. We want to do different things. We don't have 6 hours a day to train like these other guys. So if you got 15 minutes, I think you take a look at your diet, you prepare with your diet, and you take a look at the stretching and the dynamic warm-up stuff, and that will improve your endurance because you'll be more efficient.
Excellent. That's great. Okay. Well, Jeff, this has been good. Listen, I really appreciate your time today. Give us we got a couple more minutes here. You know, what are you up to these days? I know that you've got a new membership site coming out. You've got a brand new serve course coming out. Give us a little bit on what's going to be in those products.
Sure. Well, we continue to blog over at jeffsalzensteintennis.com, and I love your stuff, Brent. I mean, I'm getting your emails, and I watch your videos. I like the voiceovers you're doing and the instruction you give, so I'm a big fan of your work. And, you know, we try to do a similar thing at our blog. I'm sharing my experiences. You're sharing your experiences and just trying to help people get better. So Jeff Salzenstein Tennis is the blog where I give free tips, you know, every week. And then we have a course out right now on the forehand that we talked about several months ago. We're about to launch a membership site that's going to have a lot of cool things in there. We're going to be doing lessons every week with real players. We're going to go through all of basically my system with technique and footwork, lots of bonus interviews, nutrition tips, mental mindset training tips. So that's going to be coming out in a couple of weeks. We're putting the final touches on it. And then we have a comprehensive serve course that's going to be coming out later this spring that I think is really going to blow people away. So we've got a lot of courses coming out this year that are full of high-quality content, lots of value. We're excited about it. And hopefully some of your listeners and viewers and people that are big fans of yours will check our blog out as well, and we can kind of go back and forth with helping people get better at tennis.
Well, that's great. Listen, I'll put a link below this interview, Jeff. I really appreciate your time today, and looking forward to getting you back on the phone again soon.
Sure. Let's do it, Brent. Always a pleasure to work with you. Thanks so much.
All right, Jeff.